Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul speaks of a life of righteousness. So, what exactly does a life of righteousness look like? Paul explains it well. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God the Father as divinely loved children. That's what the life of righteousness looks like. Children imitate their parents. So we believers in Christ as children of God are to imitate God the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, and we imitate the Father by walking in a lifestyle of unconditional love, just as Christ also loved you unconditionally with his walk and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God the Father as a fragrant, perfectly satisfactory aroma. We imitate God by being willing to do what the Lord Jesus Christ did, to sacrifice our lives for others, even to the point of death. Ephesians 5:3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. We imitate God by avoiding evil. Ephesians 5:4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. We imitate God by avoiding tearing down others with our tongues, and we use this advice to inspect ourselves, not others. You know, we're missing the boat when we come to Bible study and we say, oh boy, this would be perfect for the other guys. You know, all the people in my life, this is perfect for you. Ephesians 5:5, for this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's a reference, of course, to unbelievers. But as believers are encouraged not to make evil a lifestyle, which we are fully capable of doing. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, sins, the wrath of God the Father comes upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience is a reference to unbelievers who have idols, not a God, not the God. God's wrath is always directed towards sin. And for those who reject the unconditional love of Christ that paid for their sins at the cross, they face the wrath of God the Father for themselves instead of simply accepting Christ's finished work on their behalf. They say to Christ, thanks for the work, but I got this. Ephesians 5:7, therefore, believers in Christ, don't be partakers with them. We are to avoid the deeds of the flesh, which we are fully capable of indulging in as believers in Christ. We are light. They are darkness. And we are not to imitate the darkness lifestyle. Ephesians 5:8. For you believers in Christ were formerly darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. So walk as is befitting of children of light. See, there's another but now. For you believers in Christ were formerly darkness, but now. Another great turning point in the Word of God. Darkness was us. But now in believers in Christ, we are light. There is no darkness in us at all. This is a great reinforcement of the case for not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. We're children of light. They are children of darkness and wrath. And when we, as children of light, are shrouded by their darkness, how great is the darkness? We don't have anything in common with unbelievers, so definitely don't want to marry one. Definitely don't want to be under the authority of one if you're a woman and a believer woman. You don't. So this but now is the turning point from dark to light. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Fruit is a reflection of God the Holy Spirit's instruction. And we bear fruit as Christians when we reflect goodness and righteousness and truth. Ephesians 5:10, as we learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's why we come to Bible study. To learn from the Lord how to live the life of righteousness. To learn what it is that's pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. See, we expose darkness when we reflect the light. We don't have to become self-righteous activists who act in a manner that is holier than thou in critique of the lifestyle of others as if we are somehow spotless. We are not to hold ourselves up as role models. Rather, we realize where we came from, darkness, and we invite others to where we are now in the light. Ephesians 5:13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Believers who are committed to deeds of darkness must elevate to the calling to which they have been called, light. They must wake up to their position in Christ. Ephesians 5:15, therefore be careful how you walk. Whenever it refers to walk, it refers to a lifestyle. Be careful how you walk in lifestyle, not walking as unwise men, but walking as the wise do. Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. As believers in Christ, we have a choice to live the righteous lifestyle, the lifestyle of light, or to live the deeds of the flesh lifestyle, the lifestyle of darkness. And we are encouraged to live righteously, Ephesians 5:17. So then don't be foolish, but instead understand what the will of the Lord is. Another reason we come to Bible study, to understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:18, and don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And now, this is a great passage in Ephesians 5:18, and it does not stop with that verse. Listen to the flow. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you are, here's how that looks. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the respect of Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. We are. As believers in Christ, we are filled with the Spirit, and we can't lose it. God gave us the indwelling Spirit at the moment of salvation as a seal of our redemption, a signature guarantee that we are saved once for all time. So what does it mean then to be filled with the Spirit? It means to be fully influenced by the Spirit. It means to be given a certain quality by the Spirit. It means to have our deficiencies compensated for by the Spirit. It means to be led by the Spirit. It means to accept the abundance of blessings being directed at you by the Spirit. The verb is in the passive voice, which means that being filled with the Spirit is something that God does to you and for you, and it requires no effort on your part. Let me repeat that. It means the verb be filled is in the passive voice, meaning that being filled with the Spirit is something that God does to you and for you, and it requires no effort on your part. Now, when we accept the leadership of God the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into the truth concerning a life of righteousness. Welcome to a place where you can let God teach you about your righteousness and how to use it. And as God prepares your soul for renewing, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. The opening song is Word of God Speak.
I'm finding myself at a loss. Okay, the last thing I need is is to be heard, but to hear what it is that you say. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the world's noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the silence hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for filling us up to all the fullness of you. Thank you for your instruction in righteousness. Thank you for calling us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have called us. Reveal more of yourself to us. Illuminate your hand in our lives. Make us reflections of your unconditional love and your grace and your righteousness. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 3, righteousness eliminates our condition. Righteousness eliminates our condition. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is August 10th, 2014. That's next week. Also, this week, the Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference, August 8th and 9th. John and Monica Miller, the hosts, Red Lion, Templin's Inn, 414 East 1st Avenue in Post Falls, Idaho. Looking forward to going up and seeing my friends. I think this is our fourth conference. All the information about the conference is under latest news, so I hope to see some of you up there. We'll have an informal Bible study on August 27th, which is a Wednesday night from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and we'll be available to discuss any biblical questions that you have. And I think some of the biblical questions revolve around our study of systematic theology in the past and the connection or disconnections from that and what we're studying now, which is the unadulterated Word of God. So if you have any questions of that nature, it's a great little informal forum, and we're going to start doing this on a monthly basis and hopefully increase it to more than once a month. And also want to do one online, so we're going to work on that next, so that the non-resident congregation can also engage in this. Barah Ministries is on Facebook, and the last check, we were over 850 likes, so we're building a nice little community there, and I'm looking forward to the things that we're going to be doing with that community, which is putting some short videos on it to attract people to that page and to the ministry. And I also just want to remind you about the food drive. Barah Ministries is still participating in the food drive and will be until the end of this month. We've gotten about $125 in cash donations, and we've gotten some food donations. We have a box in the back. Both non-resident and resident congregation members are free to participate. And remember this, and you know, I just came out of a week in New York City, and we saw a lot of people sitting on the sidewalk with signs, "I'm hungry." So remember, there are a lot of people that are hungry. And you know, I think the first thing we want to do when we see people like that is say, "Oh well, you know, you could do better than that. You could get a job," and we say all these things, right? But there are people who are hungry, and people who are hungry need help. And if we have the wherewithal to help them, we need to do that. So please consider that when you're considering your giving. Let's take the offering, and let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 9:7. "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, and not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves a grace-oriented giver." Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide, so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. And even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. And we appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourself and for others around the world. And last week I talked a little bit about freedom. And during my studies I thought a little bit more about that, and I thought, where does freedom exist? And I thought about the past and the present and the future. And, you know, really the past is slavery, and the future is freedom. The only place to look back at where there is, the only thing that's worth looking back at in the past, there's only one thing. It's the cross. So everything else in the past is slavery, and in the future is our only freedom. So I was going to read a couple quotes. "Being stuck in the past is like walking forward with your back facing the front. You always miss out on what's in front of you. And the more anger towards the past you carry in your heart, the less capable you are of loving in the present. The past is behind, learn from it. The future is ahead, prepare for it. The present is here, let's live it. Your past has given you strength and wisdom, the strength and wisdom you have today. So celebrate it, but don't let it haunt you. So I wrote a letter. Dear past, thank you for the lessons. Dear future, I'm ready." And I'll finish with one quote from the only place that really matters, the Bible. Philippians 3:13-14. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus." So thank you for using your freedom to give to this church so that the future of this church may be bright, and giving to this church so that others can learn about the most important thing in our past, the cross. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, welcome back. Today's study, Romans chapter 3, righteousness eliminates our condition. Righteousness eliminates our condition. To the resident and non-resident members of Barah Ministries, to our guests who join us from time to time, and to all believers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. As we study the subject of righteousness, which is a position given to us at the moment of salvation, it brings forth the question in Christians, what about our condition? I still sin after salvation. So what about my condition? Well, the next few verses in our study of Romans chapter 3, the passage that extends from verse 21 to verse 26, answers these concerns. So let's look at Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. Here's what it says. It says, "But now, apart from the law, another principle entirely, the righteousness from God, which has been made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic law and the sacrificial offerings, and being witnessed to by the Old Testament prophets in direct statements, a righteousness that comes as a gift from God the Father through the principle of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not through a principle of faith in yourselves for righteousness." Human righteousness is not divine righteousness. Human righteousness does not cut it. You cannot impress God. That free gift of righteousness is available for whosoever believes, for there is no distinction between Jews and Greeks, for all have sinned in the past when Adam sinned, and all keep on sinning and keep on falling short of the glory of God. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, this is new ground. "Yet all keep on being justified by God the Father as a gift, free of charge, from His grace, through the redemption, which is a result of being in union with Christ Jesus." Believers in Christ are justified by God the Father. And one of the things that I'm learning in Romans through this first three chapters of Romans is how prominent God the Father is. You know, we thought the Holy Spirit was the unsung member of the Trinity. God the Father doesn't get nearly the credit that He deserves. You know, God the Father is kind of written off as, oh yeah, He planned everything. But most of the time when we see God in the New Testament, it's a reference to God the Father. And if you start looking at all the places that God appears in the New Testament, you're going to see God the Father doing some amazing stuff like this. You know, He not only justifies us, but He keeps on justifying us as a free of charge gift from His grace through the redemption, which is a result of being in union with His Son. And He helped us to have that union with His Son. So believers in Christ are justified by God the Father through expressing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. When you say, "Father, I believe in Christ," that is the expression of your faith. Now, the unrighteous person's job is simply to agree that Christ's saving work is the ticket to eternal life. Then they're justified by God the Father. To be justified by God the Father means that you are announced as righteous by God the Father. From an accounting perspective, God the Father drops a blessing into your account called righteousness. Now again, that does not change you. It certainly changes your situation. See, after He drops that deposit in your account, and that is you going to bed one night with a bank account and having no balance, and you waking up the next morning, scratching your head and say, "You know, I was thinking last night, maybe it was in my sleep, I was thinking, Jesus Christ is God. It's just like the Bible says. And I believe in Him. Just like the Bible says." And then you go to your bank account, you pull it up online, and all of a sudden, there's this ungodly amount of money in your account. There's this gigantic deposit that came from nowhere, and there's a light blinking saying, "Humongous deposit made while you sleep." Right? That's righteousness. Yeah, that bums you out, right? Because you see the big amount and you say, "Well, how much?" And then you click on the amount and it says, "Oh, by the way, it's just righteousness." It's no money. It's wealth beyond your wildest imagination, but it's not money. So from an accounting perspective, God the Father just drops the blessing in your account. Then he announces on a loudspeaker in the halls of the third heaven, Dana is now righteous. And his voice resounds, and it resounds all through the third heaven. And you would think that would be it. But what this verse says, Romans 3:24, is that he keeps on announcing it. That it's a continuous action. That it is not a one-time thing, once and done. And so your justification, really, even though it does not change you, it changes your relationship with God the Father. You are no longer his enemy. Instead, you are his friend because of your choice. God does not see creatures as his enemy, by the way. We see him that way when we're unbelievers. When we don't have a relationship with God, we see him as the enemy. He doesn't see us that way. If he saw us that way, he surely would have never sent his son to die for us. Righteousness changes your status with God. Now, there is much rejoicing in heaven when you are saved. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says this, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner, that's an unbeliever, who repents, changes his mind about Christ, than over 99 righteous persons, believers in Christ, who need no repentance. Now, we misuse that verse a lot of times, and we think that the lost here refers to believers. It does not. The sinner is not a believer. The sinner is an unbeliever, and there is a lot of joy in heaven when an unbeliever changes his mind about Christ. There is a celebration in heaven for that. So the blessing of righteousness changes our position. And now we have positional sanctification. We have a position in union with Christ, and it eliminates our condition. What does that mean? It means that our condition before we had a position was ungodly, unrighteous, sinner. And once you believe in Christ, done. No more condition. Done. Only position. That's it. Why? Because God works in one. And so, even though we continue to sin after salvation, God the Father justifies us. That ought to solidify in your mind that there's no merit on your part for the thing called righteousness. So, before salvation, we have a condition. What is a condition? It is a temporary state. As an unbeliever, that state is described as ungodly, unrighteous sinner. That's Romans 1:18. And until we accept our new position in union with Christ, that's our situation. We have a condition. And as long as you're breathing, that's good news for you, that you have this condition. So unbelievers have good news. They're breathing. And even though they're ungodly, unrighteous sinners, they're breathing. Because that, at the moment of physical death, that condition becomes a position. And that condition that turns into a position is a position in Adam. And you do not want to die in Adam. That's a problem for you. When you go before the great white throne judgment with a position in Adam, it's not going to be good for you. What are you going to incur? Wrath. Not good. So, if we reject position in Christ, and unbelievers, some do this, we are permanently in Adam at the moment of physical death and destined for the lake of fire, set to incur the wrath of God the Father. But when we accept the position of union with Christ, we are no longer in a condition of ungodliness, unrighteousness, or the condition known as sinner. We are now saints, holy, blameless, in the eyes of God the Father. Position. How do we know? Take a 5-minute break and we'll tell you. Welcome back. We're studying the book of Romans. We're studying righteousness. Your justification is only by faith. The one thing we have to notice as we proceed through our study of justification by faith is that the passive voice permeates the passage, permeates these voices. And when the passive voice is in play, we rejoice because we know that the subject matter under consideration involves God doing all the work while we get all the credit. It's the perfect situation for us. It's something the self-righteousness in us just doesn't want to accept, that God does all the work and we get all the credit and we don't have to do anything. We are justified not because of a cause from within us, because there's nothing in us that merits justification. God the Father, in righteousness, is able to justify us because we accept the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins to God the Father, and that is the payment of His Son, the only righteous one, Jesus Christ. He does the work, you get the credit. We are redeemed by the gift of righteousness. What is redemption? You've heard that word a lot. What is it? Well, in today's language, it's a stay of execution. Redemption is a stay of execution. See, when you're born on death row. You're born without righteousness. You're slated for the lake of fire. You're in prison, condemned, and you're going to be destroyed. And hopefully, you know, I don't think God is as sloppy as some of the states have been with executions, right? When God gives you an injection, you're out. It's not going to be a month-long process. It's not going to be a 24-hour process. He turns your light off and you're out of here. So you are on death row when you're born, and you're at the wrong end of the wrath of God. You're a target. But redemption is a stay of execution. And what God says is that you are now off of death row, free, never to have to consider your crimes again. Romans 3:24 says this, yet all who believe in Christ, of course, keep on being justified by God the Father as a free gift, free of charge from His grace through the redemption, the stay of execution, which comes as a result of being in union with Christ Jesus. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, and therefore you get a stay of execution. You're not going to get the death penalty. You're not going to be at the wrong end of the wrath of God. See, it's a simple choice. I agree with Jesus Christ. I'm on Jesus Christ's team. You know, there's nothing hard about it from your point of view. You don't have to be dunked in a tank and almost drowned. So that should never happen for black people. We don't like water. And we get dunked. It wasn't that way in the Roman Catholic Church. They just poured oily water in your eyes. It was horrible. I couldn't see for a week after I was baptized. Romans 3:25, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation. What does that word mean? A perfectly satisfactory payment, the only one, through a sacrifice of His blood. Sin requires a blood payment, and it was for the benefit of all who have faith in Christ. This was to demonstrate God the Father's righteousness. Because in the forbearance of God the Father, He passed over the sins previously committed. But now, apart from the law, all right, I'll tell you exactly what this was. Verses 24 and 40, verses Romans 3, 24 and 25, I'll tell you exactly what it was. You're going to be excited now. You know, I talk about Bible study stuff, you're not excited. But now I'm going to go out and talk about the world stuff, and you're going to be leaning all in right now. This was God's version of the movie called The Purge. Have you seen the movie The Purge? Have you heard about The Purge? Yeah. This verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 25, is a description of God the Father's purge. What does it mean to purge? It means to remove, as from guilt, uncleanness, obligation to the law, to evacuate as your bowels, to purify. God the Father made all of your sins legal on a single day. And that's what the movie The Purge is about. The premise of the movie is that in the movie, there is no penalty for any crime you commit for a 12-hour period. So from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., one day every year, you can commit any crime you want, and there's no penalty. And so there are two movies so far. There's the first one, and the second one's called The Anarchy. And they're both really good movies, if you like that kind of stuff. But it is that there's no penalty for any crime you commit for a 12-hour period. Well, it only took the Lord Jesus Christ 3 hours to purge all the crimes of all creatures. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 46 says this. It was now about the 6th hour, noon, and darkness fell over the whole land until about the 9th hour, 3 p.m., because the sun was obscured and the veil of the temple, Solomon's temple, was torn in two. The tearing of the veil said that the old thing had passed away. The Old Testament was dead. The law was dead. There was no more Holy of Holies, no more Levitical priests. Everything eliminated at the cross, the tearing of the veil. Beautiful. Luke 23:46, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. In this purge, all crime, all sins were credited to one person, Jesus Christ, in a 3-hour period. Every sin was legal for a 3-hour period and all imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 and 25. Yet all keep on being justified by God the Father as a gift, free of charge from his grace, through the redemption which is a result of being in union with Christ Jesus, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation through a sacrifice of his blood for the benefit of all who have faith. And this was to demonstrate God the Father's righteousness, because in the forbearance of God the Father, he passed over the sins previously committed. So why did God the Father allow his Son to do the purge? Why did he overlook the sins previously committed? That's the question we'd have to ask. Why did he allow your lawlessness? Why did he allow you to get away with it? Romans 3:26, for the demonstration, I say, of God the Father's righteousness at the present time, so that God the Father would be seen as just and would be seen as the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. He did it to glorify his Son, and he succeeded at it. In one action at the cross, God the Father allows his Son to do it all for us. God the Father found the one way that he could overlook all of our sins. He gives us a position when we express our faith in his Son and his work, so we never have to worry about our condition again. So see, in systematic theology, it was position and condition. In God's plan, it's position or condition. So you can have your condition, ungodliness, unrighteousness, sinner, or you can have a position in union with Christ. Take your pick. A lot easier, huh? You writing a song now, June? Is that why you're singing and dancing? This is not a disco. The June's over there. I have my head, no more condition. I have a position. Is that what you're doing? That's what it looked like you were doing. You feel good about that? You feel good about that? Do you? No more condition. Isn't that awesome? Just position. You feel good about that? So the next 20 years of your life is free. Isn't that awesome? You get to live to be 100 with position only. It's awesome. We never have to worry about our condition again. John 10:28. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. I give my believers the Zoe life, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Not only will no one snatch you out of his hand, but you can't snatch you out of his hand. You can't be out of the plan of God. You can't be unfilled with the Spirit. You can't move out of the plan of God once you're in it. You can't move backwards in the plan of God. All that stuff is hogwash. God is crystal clear. Righteousness or wrath? You take righteousness, you got a whole host of benefits that you can't even screw up. It's an amazing thing. You're in union with Christ, which is the greatest position of all, and you never have to worry about your condition or anything ever again. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God the Father's will for you who are in union with Christ Jesus. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Did you guys, Colin and Alex, did you know God considers your new school to be his responsibility? Did you know that? Well, he does. So as soon as you get there, somebody's going to like you right away, and you're going to just fit right in. You go into Mountain View, that's a great school. They have great sports. Invite me to some of the games, will you? But not to the soccer games, unless you're on the team. All right, there you go. Do not fear. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. The closing song, one of June's new ones, Hero.
You came from up above to demonstrate your love, my hero. Hero from heaven came to earth, came by the virgin birth, my hero.
song is really about me, isn't it? Okay, no. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being our hero. You are absolutely our hero. Because there's nowhere else for us to turn except to you. And life gets really fantastic when that is the case, where we finally figure it out that there's nowhere else for us to turn but you, that we don't have to be anything special. Because what we are, how we are, who we are, you're going to accept us. You're going to welcome us with open arms. That thing that we seek so much here on earth, we have with you. And I pray that all those who are at the other end of this message might have hope. They might realize that God puts us through a lot of things, not as tests, but as preparation for handling anything. And that we just need to exist in situations and watch them unfold. And although to us they may look like we're making all the sacrifices and we're paying all the bill, God will come in at our most helpless point, take over, and deliver us just like he promises. And he does that every single time. We pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are inspiring to people's lives, that they might see the application of what you're telling them in their lives, and that they may be aware of that application even when it shows up 2 or 3 weeks down the road and they never saw it coming. We thank you for your work on our behalf, your perfect thinking, your indescribable essence, your magnificent person, your unconditional love, and your grace. And we ask that you bless us and keep us in adversity and in prosperity through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.